Our Father, we thank you. You put it into our hearts to be here. And wonderful to be able to meet in your name and around your word. And we pray that you'll give us ears to hear. You'll help us to understand what it is you have to say to us. You will uplift us. You will enlighten us. You will give us insight into our own hearts and people's hearts. And help us to understand the gospel more because we've been together looking at your word. And so we commit ourselves to you and pray that the Lord Jesus will be with us and that he will be honored and uplifted for his name's sake. Amen. The Holy Spirit living within us does a wonderful thing. He changes us inside and he makes us alive to spiritual things so we become spiritual people. The Bible leaves us in no doubt as to who is going to heaven and who is not going to heaven and who belongs to the Lord Jesus and who doesn't. And who is a Christian and who is not a Christian. And in Romans chapter 8, we come across this particular aspect of the teachings in Romans, the description of an unspiritual person. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Now, there are many things that trouble us in the Christian life when we're dealing with people who we try to influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't understand why it is that so many of them can listen to what we're saying and not understand it, or not accept the evidences that we give them, or not bother to read the books that we pass on to them, or not show any interest in church, or when they do come to church, show no interest in what goes on there, and their lives stay the same. And we become very discouraged by these things. But you won't be discouraged if you understand how the Bible describes the inside of a person who is not a Christian and the inside of a person who is a Christian. That is why this is called a description, first of all, of an unspiritual man, or an unspiritual person. So in this little passage, the Apostle Paul shows us that only those who are alive according to the Holy Spirit can actually do the things that God wants us to do, who are alive inside, who have that power and that ability inside of them, that are able to do what God wants us to do. Now, in the Old Testament, what God wanted his people to do was to keep the law. In other words, if you kept the law, the Ten Commandments, you were living righteously. If you think about it, if you go through the commandments and think about it, if you were able to keep those commandments, you'd be living righteously. You'd live in peace with each other. You wouldn't steal. You wouldn't covet. You wouldn't swear at each other. You wouldn't covet each other's things. You would be concerned about other people. You wouldn't be immoral, and you'd honor God, and you'd honor your parents. All the things that make society work are all bound up in the Ten Commandments. But as we know when you read the Old Testament, that the Old Testament people, the Israelites, even though they had God's law, even though they knew what God wanted, they didn't keep it. And so often you'll discover in the Old Testament, if you read it through, God brought other nations against them in war, and they were beaten, and they were defeated, and they had to call out to God for help, and there was repentance. And eventually God banished them from the land of promise that he'd given to them, because they were so wicked. And that is why in the prophet Ezekiel, we read a very great prophecy. God said that there will come a time when I will take away out of you your stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will write my laws on your heart of flesh so that you will want to do them. You see? Now, the Old Testament people weren't like that. That was for us. That is for us when the Holy Spirit came, and when we understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus and we turn to him and receive him as Savior, that old stony heart is taken out of us and a heart of flesh is put into us. and God's laws on our heart, and we discover that we want to do the things that please Him. That doesn't mean we always get it right. It doesn't mean that we're always perfect, or we never make mistakes. It doesn't mean that at all. But nevertheless, the general tone of our lives has changed. We don't want to be like the world is. We want to be different. See, that's what happens when you become a Christian. So, what the Bible says about the person who is not a Christian and lives according to the sinful nature helps us to understand and helps us to define, helps us to see when we talk to people what the problem is with these people. And the first thing I want to point out to you is this. The person who is not a Christian, who's still got the old stony heart, and who's not a Christian, that person is a person who lives according to the sinful nature, the nature with which we were born. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. So the first thing we need to realize about people who are not Christians, who are unspiritual, that doesn't mean that they're not occasionally interested in some form of spirituality, but you know, in today's world, spirituality means anything. You can be spiritual in any way, you know, you can be New Agey spiritually, touchy-feely spiritually. No, but we're talking here about the spirituality that comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do not have that spirituality, they live according to the sinful nature. So what we notice about people who are not Christians is that they live according to lives that do not acknowledge the kingship of Almighty God. They just live ordinary lives. They don't bother about anyone else, or about God, or about Christ, or about the Bible, or about His commands, or about what He wants and doesn't want. They're not worried about eternal things. They're just worried about earthly things. They live according to the sinful nature. The sinful nature is a nature that has no real interest in God at all. It means human nature before the Spirit of God begins to work in them. It's like you were before you became a Christian. You lived according to the sinful nature. That's how I was before I became a Christian. I live according to the sinful nature. And if God left me to myself, that's how I would live all my life. And that's the way you would live all your life. So if God left us to ourselves, with all our lives we'd live without God, and we'd live according to our sinful natures. And we'd be under the authority, and we would be habitually dominated by our sinful nature, the nature with which we were born. So if you were born with a tendency to lose your temper, that's the way you would live until the day you died. If you were born with a tendency to bully others, that's the way you'd be until you die. Until somebody intervenes in your life, you will live with the nature with which you were born. And this is the condition that continues year after year after year, and this is how we go on living. So when you meet people who turn down the offer of the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't want to talk about it. Don't talk to me about those things. Those things are private. They're my private business. I've got my own way of believing that, that sort of thing. You know that those people are living according to the sinful nature. That's the first thing that it means to be unspiritual. Secondly, the scripture says that their minds are set on sinful desires. That's what it says in chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. So their minds are really set. There's a track set for that mind. There's a journey set for that mind. That mind is set on what that sinful nature desires. So all their thoughts, all their understanding, all their affections, all their emotions, all their desires, all their ambitions, everything is included in this idea of minds being set on what the nature desires. So they won't think like you think. They don't value the things that you value and I value. They don't want those things. They've got other things that they value. So an unspiritual person is first of all someone who has a sinful nature, and secondly someone whose mind is set on what that sinful nature desires. They desire what the world wants, what the world desires. All right? Now, thirdly, we just want to unpack a little bit what the sinful nature desires. What does that sinful nature desire? What are these things? Well, it's not only the sensual pleasures and sin. It's not only the immoral things that people want, although they want that too. These things all belong to the body, but it's also idolatry. You know, it's the idolatry of ownership, idolatry of ambition, the idolatry of control. And the Bible even puts witchcraft into that particular category, because it's the idolatry of mystically controlling things that you want to have control of. It's hatred of your rivals and hatred of those who are opposed to you. It's a wide and a very comprehensive term. It covers everything that's opposed to the mind and the life of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us an entirely different set of values and an entirely different mind. That the mind of the sinful nature wants other things completely. And these are the things that are focused entirely on all of the ambitions of a fallen human being in whom there is no light. In whom there is no light. I was reading this past week that beginning from December, AI is going to make it possible for people to make their own homegrown pornographic videos. And so what is that telling us? That is telling us that while you can use AI for good things, a large portion of the technological miracles of the age are dominated by the sinful mind and playing up to what that sinful mind desires, do you see? And giving people the opportunity to do what their sinful mind desires. And so these sinful desires, these things that the sinful mind desires, is a reference to life in this world only. It's not thinking about heaven or hell. It's not thinking about the day you die. It's not thinking about when everything comes to an end. It's not thinking about what happens 5 minutes after you're dead. No, it's only thinking about this world and its time. And when you meet your friends who reject Christ and reject the gospel, or laugh at you, or perhaps they don't laugh at you, but they just disagree with you. When you meet them, you know that these are people who are captured by a wrong view of time. They think it's all in their hands, and their life is in their hands, and that there's nothing wrong with their thinking, but their mind is darkened, and their lives are bounded. It's circumscribed entirely by their bodies, by what they want to satisfy themselves in this life, and there's no spiritual element at all. So that's the sinful mind and the sinful nature. Now, the fourth thing I want to point out to you is that the scripture tells us that the mind of an unspiritual person is dead. That's quite a thing to say, but it does say that. You see, it does say that. Look at verse 6 of Romans chapter 8. It says, the mind of sinful man or sinful woman. The word man in the Bible is always generic. You must remember that, right? It means man and woman. The mind of sinful man is death. What does that mean? The mind of sinful man is death. Well, when you meet people who are only concerned about their motor cars or their money or their houses or their pensions or live only for themselves and are always selfish and stingy and unconcerned about other people and their welfare, you know that that sort of person has got a kind of death in them. And it's what the Bible calls spiritual death. Their mind is dead. Their mind is dead to God. It is dead to the fact that He is the controller of the world. Their mind is dead to the truth that God is the controller of their own lives. Their mind is dead to the fact that one day they will die. They can acknowledge it in a kind of an academic way, but they never think about it seriously. Their mind is dead to the fact that there's something happening after death. They are dead people. And so it's important to have our minds renewed. And that's exactly what God does when we become Christians. He renews our hearts, and our minds are renewed with our hearts. We get a heart of flesh, and the heart of stone is taken out. And our minds go with that heart of flesh. And the Holy Spirit comes in and He shows light He pours light into our mind so we say, how could I ever have thought like that? How could I ever have done that? How could I ever have thought that that was okay? And we can see now, after you become a Christian, how wrong we used to be. But for the time being, until that happens, the unspiritual person's mind is dead to God. And he lives as if there were, or she lives as if there were, no God. They live outside of the life of God. When you become a Christian, you're included in the life of God. And Christ is in you, and God is in Christ. And there's a whole new dynamic going on inside of us. But until that happens, they live outside of the life of God. And they are lost people, which is why we take the gospel to them. That is why we try to win them for Christ. That's exactly what we do. We take the gospel to them because they are lost. And then, number five, it also tells us that the mind of the person who's not a Christian is hostile to God. Hostile. That's a strong word. But that's exactly what it says in the scripture. Look at verse 7. It says in verse 7 of chapter 8, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. There is a hostility in the mind toward God. Now, where did that hostility come from? It was born into the mind when that person was conceived in the womb. Because we are all conceived in sin, that means that the sinful nature of our forefather Adam follows every human being conceived in the womb and then born into this world. We are born with a natural hostility toward God. That's how we are born. That is why you find people with no reason not wanting to talk to you about Jesus, but they can't tell you why. They can't really explain why not, but they don't want you to talk about God. And they feel threatened when you talk about the Bible or God or Jesus. When you meet people like that, you must understand you are witnessing the truth of Romans 8 verse 7. The mind is hostile to God. And of course that hostility can take very great forms too. It can take forms of real persecution and real hatred. And it can take forms of real action against Christians. It can take very great forms. But for most of us, we come up against it in a soft form, in just the way people are toward us. They just reject us, push us out of their way, out of their lives. They don't want anything to do with God. And when they see us, they know that we bring God with us. They see a Bible, not for them, not the book for them, it's God's book. When they hear about Jesus or they hear about anything else, they don't want anything like that. Why do you think the shops stop playing Christmas carols at Christmas time? Sometimes shops still do it, but mostly they don't today. And why do people object to it? Because all of these things remind them that there's some great shadow lurking out there. There's some watcher out there watching them. Hey, we feel that's dangerous. We don't want to have anything to do with it. See? So the sinful mind is hostile to God. And all people, men and women, who are outside of the life of God are at enmity with God. That's why people write books about atheism and they want to argue about this and want to argue about that. And what about science? What about the Big Bang theory? And what about evolution? And what about this new theory and things like that? They don't know anything about it themselves. And most people who argue with you about Christianity don't know what they're talking about. They probably heard the argument from someone else and they're just repeating it. And so what you've got is this tremendous hostility toward Almighty God in the human mind. And then what else do we discover about the person who's unspiritual? Well, it says the human mind does not submit to God's law. In verse 7 as well, it says this. It says the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. That's how it shows its hostility. It will not do what God says it must do. Oh, sometimes people have stood up and said to me, these are very nice people who live in nice houses, got good jobs, and they live nice lives, you know. I don't do anything wrong. I keep the Ten Commandments. which they don't, if I had to question them, and I live an honest life with them. I don't think that I need God. I say to them, but what if God says to you that Jesus is the only way in which you can get to know him, not the Ten Commandments? Well, I've got my own way of reading the Bible. I've got my own way of thinking about those things. And they brush you off. Why do they do that? They do that because of their hostility to God and their inability to submit to do what God wants them to do. So the spirit that's in the heart of a man or a woman that decides to go ahead with an adulterous relationship is the same spirit in the heart of a man or a woman who says, after you've explained the gospel to them, no, I don't want it. It's the same spirit. It's the spirit that says, I will not submit to God. I will not submit to him. So that is what it's like to be unspiritual. It is people who do not submit to God's law. Their lives are marked out by rebellion, antagonism, and they do not care what God has said, and they do not take orders from him, and they follow their own minds. But have a look at the rest of what verse 7 says. Why do they not obey God? Because it says, such a sinful mind, a sinful nature, a person who's not indwelt by God, the person who doesn't live in God's circle, if we can put it that way, he has no ability to do it. So it says in verse 7, the sinful mind is hostile to God, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It can't do so. So I've had to tell people often over the years as a pastor when things have happened in the country or there's been drama of some sort or some public drama or something like that or there's been a great accident and people are injured and well-meaning Christians go to the hospital beds and tell these people, don't worry, God loves you and everything will be all right. We don't know that. We can't say that to people. That's not our message. It's not our message to tell people everything will be all right. Our message is to tell them what God said about putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when well-meaning Christians say to others who are in trouble, just trust God and everything, they can't trust God. They're not Christians. They're not in the world of the spiritual. And they cannot trust God. They can be comforted by some form of false faith in nothing, but they can't trust God. They don't know God. You can only trust someone you know. And if you don't know God, you can't trust him. And so here's another thing about the unspiritual person. They cannot do what God wants them to do. Even if they wake up one morning and say, today I'm going to live as God wants me to live, they will fall flat on their face. They can't. They do not have the inner spiritual strength to do it, which is given to us when we become Christians by the Holy Spirit. Do you see? They cannot do it at all. And the reason, the overall summing up picture or description of these people is given in verse 8 of Romans chapter 8. It says this, those controlled by the sinful nature, that is, those who are not Christians, who live their lives by the sinful nature, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You get that? You cannot please God. So we may read about these wonderful billionaires who are going to give their fortunes away, and they give $20 billion to some charity and another $20 billion to some other charity, and we say, you know, if only we could do that. But you know, no matter how many billions they give to charity, they can't please God. They're not pleasing God. It's not coming out of a heart that loves God. It's coming out of a heart that is controlled by the various dynamics of the social, civil society in which we live. It's not pleasing God. It's not a bad thing they're doing. I'm glad they're doing it. But it's not going to get them to heaven. They cannot please God. So the person who is not a Christian no matter how nice they may be and what wonderful neighbors they may be to you, and how nice your old grandmother was and how kind she was and how she looked after you and all that, if she did not put her trust in Jesus, she cannot please God. That is the thing for us to remember, dear friends. Everything depends on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what you've got is a kind of a description of what an unspiritual, that is, an unconverted person is like. And when we come up against them in our daily lives, we should just remember that this is what it tells us in Romans chapter 8. This is what people are like who do not know God. There's a new dynamic that's got to come into the whole thing. Something new has got to happen. And that new thing that's got to happen, the Holy Spirit has got to come into us. And that happens when we bow the knee to the Lord Jesus and our minds are turned from sinful natures, from sinful minds, worldly minds, they turn to spiritual minds, and something new begins to evolve within us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's so clear when we read it slowly to see what it says about people. We don't always like it, Lord, because there are so many people we know that we're so fond of, who've been so good to us, and we feel, well, why can't they go to heaven? And sometimes we ourselves get confused. But we pray that you will keep us who belong to you free from confusion and clear on what is needed to be able to join you in your glory in time to come. So please help us with these things, because we're only human and we make lots of mistakes and we think wrongly. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit, and we pray for it. In Jesus' name.